As we begin this new series, Words Create Worlds, I thought it was only appropriate that I dedicate this first message to the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who used words, the right words, words filled with love, words filled with power, words filled with conviction, and words seasoned with scriptures from the Holy Bible that brought about a new world. And my love and admiration for him continues to grow as I hear the anti-American, anti-Christian hatred and rhetoric that's being used by so many in our country today. Whereas this individual was able to bring people together, we see the words that are being used that are pushing people further apart. We need more men and women to stand up and speak the truth in love, as his legacy encourages all of us to do. Words create worlds. Think of how powerful that statement is. As I was preparing and praying about a series to open up this new year, what was dropped in my heart was just the power of words. And I found this title, Words Create Worlds. I didn't originate it. Matter of fact, nobody really knows where it originated from. Some attribute it to a certain philosopher or rabbis in the past, but it really says it all. The power of words, that words create worlds. Think about the power of those two words, I will, spoken by a future bride to her boyfriend. Or the three words, I love you. And equally strong and world-shaping are the words, I hate you. Or the words from a doctor, your test came back negative. Or the words spoken by a judge, you can go free. The power of words, that words truly do create worlds. And speaking of words that create worlds, this is how God created the worlds, how God created the universe. In Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. So out of love, respect, and esteem for the Word of God, please stand to your feet for the reading of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of words and the lesson that we are taught throughout Scripture about the power of the spoken word and the power of our own words. Now, Father, I pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Holy Spirit, with precision, pinpoint the truth that you want each of us to bury deep in our hearts today, both those that are in person, those that may be in the chapel, and those that are watching online. I pray and ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. From a general who is leading a war, to leading families, to leading a business, to leading a community, words create worlds. The power of words. You know, as Christians, we need to make sure that we're continuously developing a faith vocabulary, that our speech is seasoned with grace, as the Apostle Paul said in one of his letters, that we're not allowing any corrupt communication to proceed out of our mouth, but only that which is to the edification of others, as Paul said, writing to the Ephesians. Well, why? Because, as we see in the example of creation itself, God spoke and the worlds came into existence. You and I have the power to speak the truth, to speak God's promises, to speak the Word of God. And words create worlds. Three thoughts I want to share with you today in the message. Words create worlds because, number one, words have the power to bless or curse. We all know that in our own lives, don't we? There have been people in your life growing up, maybe a parent, maybe a relative, maybe a pastor or a priest or a teacher or a coach, a mentor, someone that spoke a blessing over your life. It's with you to this day. The power of someone speaking a blessing over you. There's nothing in the world quite like it. And then all of us, there's been times, unfortunately, that people we looked up to, admired, or maybe those that we didn't, they spoke a curse over our life. And we know on a firsthand personal level that words create worlds, that words have power to bless or to curse. Here's how the book of Proverbs says it in Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Let's read this verse out loud together. Words kill, words give life, they're either poison or fruit. You choose. Wow, powerful statement. Words can kill, or words can produce life. Friend, never underestimate the power of words. For every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. Yes, my friend, words kill, and words give life. Words give humans a godlike power. You see, the origin of speech is divine, actually. It's a spiritual gift. God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. And with that living soul from God, breathed in by God, was the ability to use words, speech, language, communication. And words create worlds. Matter of fact, many rabbis believe that before the fall, animals had the ability to speak and to communicate with humans. That is partially true, and we know that it's partially true because in the garden, the serpent had a conversation with Eve. It wasn't some mythological, fictional, metaphorical story. It actually happened. And after the fall, the serpent that stood upright and could speak was cursed and became a snake that crawled in the dirt. There's another example in the Bible where an animal spoke. Do you remember your Sunday school lessons growing up? What was the name of that donkey? Balaam's donkey. Balaam was a crazy prophet, and God opened the mouth of that donkey, and the donkey actually began to speak to his owner. I grew up and I had a friend that had a parrot that spoke. Never say that an animal can't speak. And then as a little kid, I was mentored watching television, listening to a talking horse called Mr. Ed. You know, friend, it might be a welcome change if animals started talking and humans stopped talking. Maybe the world would be a better place. You know, dogs really are amazing. And I heard the other day of how dogs, large dogs, can be trained to help protect their owner that may suffer from an epileptic attack. That somehow the dog can sense or smell when an epileptic attack is about to happen, and that dog will move in place to help break the fall of its owner. Come on, let's thank God for man's best friend. You cat owners, I'm praying for you. But if we could train dogs to do that, I think we need to start training dogs to be able to sense and anticipate when you're going to say something bad. Something bad's going to come out of your mouth, and the dog just, you're like, oh, I better not say that. Words have power to bless or to curse. I love Job chapter 6, verse 25, and the first part of that verse says, how forceful are right words. You see, the right word spoken at the right time, in the right way, well, the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. There's nothing quite as marvelous, as creative, as wonderful, as beautiful, as inspiring as a right word spoken the right way at the right time. It's described as apples of gold and settings of silver because how forceful are right words? Now, here's what's interesting. When you study the power of words, particularly in the book of Proverbs, what's always associated with speaking right words is enjoying the fruit of your mouth. And somehow, the writer of Proverbs ties our words to gardening or farming. That somehow our words are compared to seeds that are planted that eventually will grow a harvest. So Proverbs really captures this picture of a farmer or a gardener. Many of you are farmers, you were raised by farmers, you understand farming, we're a farming community. Many of you have gardens, you like to plant in your gardens. And so the writer of Proverbs, inspired by the Holy Spirit, basically is saying that as a man or a woman grows fruit or vegetables or plants grain for a harvest, and as a result of that harvest, his or her stomach is filled and satisfied, we need to take great care as a gardener or a farmer in the words that we speak, because words have life and words have death, and there will be a harvest we will reap from those words that will either satisfy us or starve us to death. The power of words, the power to bless or the power to curse with our words. And a word is more than a partial agitation of air, particles spread by our mouths pushing out air. Jesus tells us that there is this spiritual dimension to words. He said in John's gospel, he said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." There's a spiritual component. There's a spiritual nature to words. And as Christians, the Bible says, prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. When you speak words under the unction and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, based on biblical truth or even quoting a biblical verse, it is though you are prophesying, you become the oracle of God, you become the spokesperson for God. We know that our hands are to be the hands of Jesus in bringing healing to others. Our feet are the feet of Jesus, and hopefully our feet will show up Friday so we can take a stand for life in our community. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house of God? But our mouths, we can allow our mouths and our conversation and our words to be sanctified. We can place our tongue on the altar and allow God's fire and holiness to consume it so that we can be a spokesperson for God. So that the words that we speak, there's power in those words to create worlds. And those words are powerful because those words have the ability to bless or those words have the ability to curse. Words have the ability to make or mar a human life, to fill a home with gladness or sadness. The power of words. That's why Proverbs 18:20, it says, "A person's speaking ability provides for his stomach, his talking provides him a living." It is so true. It is so practical, especially for a preacher or for an attorney or for a politician or for a teacher or for anybody. I've known some people that have talked themselves into a job, and I've known some people that have talked themselves out of a job. Death in life or in the power of the tongue. A person's speaking ability provides for his stomach. His talking provides him a living. And then Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. No, friend, it's what comes out of a man. It's what comes out of us that defiles us. Words bless, words curse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They can give life or they can kill. I was thinking of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, and he was the cupbearer to the king, and that was a tricky job because, you know, if you said the wrong thing the wrong way at the wrong time, off with your head or in prison. That's what was at stake each and every day when you showed up to work. And one day he was sad in the presence of the king, and that was rare. And the king said, "I've never seen you sad in my presence." And the Bible says, the narrator says, and he was terrified because he had failed in service to this tyrannical king, and there could be consequences. And so at that moment, the Holy Spirit gave Nehemiah the right words to say in the right way that garnered the favor of this king that allowed him to go back to care for the needs of his people in Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. Words give life or death. Words bless or words curse. I thought of Daniel, the prophet Daniel. He served under two pagan kings, Nebuchadnezzar and Darius. And each time he had to choose his words correctly and use his words correctly because death and life are in the power of the tongue. Then I thought of John the Baptist in the New Testament. He used his words to speak truth to power, to speak truth to Herod that his marriage was unlawful. And you know what happened to John the Baptist? He was arrested and his head was taken off. You know, friend, I must say, there is a dangerous development in our country today. The new masters of the universe, big tech industry, the big four, the four horsemen as some people call them, Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple, along with big politics and pop culture, they collectively are letting it be known that there will be political, economic, social, and even legal repercussions if your speech is not politically correct. The unfortunate reality today is dissent and disagreement is classified as hate speech, which is a shame because then it really marginalizes and takes away what truly is hate speech. When just because you disagree with what others are saying or what the majority are saying, that qualifies now as hate speech. You will be banned from social media if you say or use the wrong words. Words create worlds. We no longer have freedom of speech. In America, free speech is now becoming forced speech. Say what we want you to say or pay the consequences. I think of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, where he said, "Prude of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." That's why now more than ever, we need to hide God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. We need to make sure that we are consuming the promises of God and that we are courageously and fearlessly speaking the truth in love as the oracle of God, as the mouthpiece of God in our generation. Words create worlds because, number one, words have the power to bless or they have the power to curse. Number two, words create worlds because words have power to build or to batter, to build up or to tear down. Job 4:4 says this, "Our words have kept men on their feet." I love that. I love the power and the truth behind that. Sometimes in life, you have a standing 10 count. You've been hit blow after blow. The blows of life have caused you to wobble on your feet. And then someone, God sends the right messenger, and they say the right thing at the right time in the right way. And their words are almost prophetic. Their words go deep into your heart and your soul and your mind. And all of a sudden, you are given strength to go on, to fight another day. Your words have kept men on their feet. Matter of fact, the entirety of those two verses, or that verse, it's in Job 4. I want to read verses 3 and 4 out of the Message paraphrase. Look at what it says. "When someone stumbled, you lifted him up with your words. When knees were weak, you gave them strength. You yourself have done this plenty of times, spoken words that clarify, encourage those who were about to quit. Your words have put stumbling people on their feet, put fresh hope in people about to collapse." Oh, may God use each and every one of us to encourage those that are about to throw in the towel, those that want to give up, those that are tired of the battle or tired of the struggle, those that are stumbling people that will put fresh hope in people who are about to collapse. I came across a quote. It's a long paragraph. It is so profound, so prolific, the way it was written by Wilford Peterson. He once put it this way concerning the power of words. "Soft words sung in a lullaby will put a baby to sleep. Excited words will stir a mob to violence. Eloquent words will send armies marching into the face of death. Encouraging words will fan to flame the genius of a Rembrandt or a Lincoln. Powerful words will mold the public mind as the sculptor molds his clay. Words spoken or written are a dynamic force," he said. "Words are the swords we use in our battle for success and happiness. How others react towards us depends in a large measure upon the words that we speak to them. Life is a great whispering gallery that sends back echoes of the words we send out. Our words are immortal, too. They go marching through the years in the lives of all those whom we come in contact." Wow, profound. That the words we speak, they are immortal. They are eternal. Once a word is spoken, you can never take it back, and it stays in God's created worlds forever and ever and ever. Maybe that's why Jesus said, "By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." The power of words, the power to bless or curse, the power to build up or the power to batter, the power to tear down. Oh, friend, may we all be encouraged and reminded in this message today. God, may our words be used to bless and not curse, to give life and not death, to build up and not to tear down. You know, I believe as our lives are being altered, changed, modified, redirected through this pandemic. You know, it's amazing that you can't leave your house, you can't leave your car without your mask. Like, you have to have your mask everywhere now, right? And I keep losing these masks. I get a good mask, a favorite mask, and then is it in a pant pocket? Is it in a coat pocket? I'm looking through my car. Did I drop it? Oh, my goodness. But I think that this mask is a reminder. You see, in Psalm 141, verse 3, look at what it says. Oh, Lord, set a guard at my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Right here.
This is how we do it. It reminds us.
Do you need to say what you're about to say? There's an Arab proverb. The words of the tongue should have three gatekeepers. What are the three gatekeepers that should guard our mouths? There are three gatekeepers. Three guards. The first gatekeeper, you should always ask yourself this question before you say anything. Number one, is it true? That's the first gatekeeper. The first test that must pass, what I'm about to say, is it true? And then equally important, number two, gatekeeper number two, guard number two. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it kind? What I'm about to say, is it true? What am I about to say, is it kind? And gatekeeper number three, what am I about to say, is it necessary? It might be true, it might be kind, but it may not be necessary. You have to ask yourself those three questions. Lord, is it true? Lord, is it kind? And Lord, is it necessary? Lord, I pray that you would put a guard at my mouth, that you would keep watch over the door of my lips. Words create worlds because, number one, they have the power to bless or curse. Number two, they have the power to build or batter. And number three, words have the power to hurt or heal. We all know this personally, don't we? That words have the power to bring healing, or words have the power to wound a heart, to wound a life. Matter of fact, the book of Proverbs is very, very practical in its wisdom. And in Proverbs 10:32, it says this: righteous people know the kind thing to say, but the wicked are always saying things that hurt. Ouch, I felt that one. I don't know about you. That's the difference between a good person and a wicked person. Now, we all, from time to time, say things that are hurtful to the people we love the most. How many of you have said unkind, hurtful things to the people you love? Thank you, Lord, for the honest people in church today. We all have. And we regret it. And we have to say, God, I'm sorry. We have to tell them, I'm sorry. That's the hardest thing to do, right? I'm sorry. I was wrong. Don't say I didn't mean that, because yes, you did. In the heat of emotion, in the heat of the moment, that's why you said it. Don't even go there. Just say, I wish I could take that back, but you can't. I know. Excuse me. I know. But it was wrong. And now, if you're going to be a Christian, you have to forgive me. It works both ways. So we just want to be more aware, more cautious, more sensitive to the words that we're speaking, because we don't want to hurt. Our intention is we want to heal. We want to say good things. And sometimes you got to say the hard thing. You need to have the hard conversation. You know, once again, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Sometimes it's true, it's kind, and it's necessary. We need to have this conversation. But as Paul said, our words, we must always speak the truth in love. Because words hurt, or words help. Words affirm, or words are destructive. There's an old Jewish teaching, and it compares the tongue, it compares the tongue to an arrow. And these Jewish rabbis, the apprentices, wondered why our word, or the tongue, why is the tongue compared to an arrow and not a sword? And one wise Jewish rabbi said, well, if you have a sword as a weapon and you pull it out to do harm to an enemy or out of anger to a friend, they can appease you and you can put that sword back in its sheath. But the tongue is compared to an arrow because once you shoot that arrow, There's no bringing it back. There's no taking it back until it reaches its target, until it reaches its destination. And so, of course, at some point in time in a series like this, we're going to have to go to James chapter 3, the half-brother of Jesus in the book of James. He gives an entire chapter on the power of the tongue and how we are, the tongue is set on fire by hell itself, and how we need to make sure that we allow our tongues to be used by God, to glorify God, to bless others, to bring life into others, to heal others, and not to hurt others. Let me ask you a question. This is not a rhetorical question. I want a response by showing of hands. How many of you believe that you could go an entire 24-hour period without speaking an unkind word about someone or to someone? How many of you would accept the challenge? Some of you are too honest. I want to challenge all of us to go the next 24 hours without saying an unkind thing about a person or to a person. Once again, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If not, right? 24 hours. Now listen, no shame, no judgment. I'm not judging. I'm not your judge. God's your judge. He's our judge. But let me say something. If you can't go 24 hours without having alcohol, you have a problem. If you can't go 24 hours without having caffeine, you're addicted. If you can't go 24 hours without any kind of nicotine, you need some serious help, my friend. I love you, I'm just saying. And if we can't go 24 hours without saying something unkind to about somebody or to somebody, we need help. And then many times we are our own worst enemy. You know, I woke up and I was at my devotional time, and this thought came to me. And it says in Romans, Romans 8, if God be for you, who could be against you? And I was kind of just meditating on that. If God is for you, who could be against you? Who could be against you? And then I felt like the Holy Spirit say this. If God's for you, why are you against yourself? Sometimes we become our own worst critic in life. Some of us, notice how I said that. It'd be easier for me to say some of you say the meanest things about yourself. But all of us. Oh, Carl, how could you be so stupid? Wow. I mean, if we talk to friends like we talk to ourselves, we would have no friends. Right? And if we talk to our friends like we talk to our family members, we would have no friends. So, Lord, take control of our mouths. May our words be used to bless and not to curse, to give life and not death, to build up and not to batter, because words create worlds. You know, the Midrash is a Hebrew term that the Jewish scholars would use in interpreting Scripture. And in the Midrash, there's writings trying to give interpretation to Hebrew teaching, Hebrew Scripture, sometimes kind of maybe unravels a mystery or just deepens a mystery, the Midrash. And in the Midrash, they say that the evil tongue slays three. This is a very wise saying. The evil tongue slays three: the slanderer, the slandered, and the one listening. You know the danger of slandering somebody or gossiping about somebody? And not only destroys you and the person that you're talking about behind their back, but the person that's listening. And God takes this very seriously because He spoke the worlds into existence. And there's such power in life and blessing that's associated with our words. He wants us to use our words to honor Him with and to bless others with. Now, friend, what would we think of someone during this pandemic that was that became a super spreader of COVID? They knew that they had this hideous virus, and they intentionally were trying to infect others. We would think they're one of the worst of humans among us, that they did that intentionally, maliciously. They would be arrested and they would be brought up, rightfully so, on criminal charges because people's lives are at stake during this pandemic. But all that person could do at the end of the day is murder a human being, which is very, very bad. But just think about the malicious, hateful words that we use to hurt, to maim, to wound, words that kill instead of words that giving life. We're not murdering a body, but we're murdering a soul. And I would say, God, help us. Help us to make sure that our words are seasoned with grace. That's why, friend, I encourage you, don't get in political or theological battles on Facebook or online. Well, I just need to give a piece of my mind. I know you've been given so many pieces, you don't have any left. It's just not the time or the place. I mean, if you want to have a conversation with somebody that you may not agree with, invite them to lunch. Go have coffee. Realize they are a fallow human being. Sit down and have a civil conversation. You may not change their mind, and if you're right, hopefully they don't change your mind, but we could accomplish a whole lot more if we stop using social media as a means to bully, intimidate, threaten, and spread more hate in the world. Many times it's not what you share, it's how you share it and why you share it. Words create worlds. The words of the tongue should have three gatekeepers. Once again, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? The words that you speak today, tomorrow, for the next 24 hours, just take that first step, hallelujah, and then try for a second day. True, kind, necessary. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. Matthew 12:37. The importance and the power of words. Don't ever underestimate them. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and life. Friend, the words you speak, they're spiritual. There's a spiritual dimension. They can produce life or they can produce death. And I want to encourage those of you that maybe you've had words that have cursed you, words that have condemned you, words that have judged you, words that have battered you, words that have beat you down. First of all, forgive that person. Don't hold it against them. And then just take all that contamination in your soul, mind, and heart, all that emotional trash and garbage, and just dump it out. Just lay it on the altar. Just say, Lord, take all this. Stop believing what you say about yourself. Stop believing what others have said about you. Start believing what God has said about you. That if God's for you, why are you so against yourself? Why are you allowing yourself to do the devil's job? Right? He leaves most of us alone because you do a better job of beating yourself up every day than he could ever do. You need to stop that. Let your words be words of life and not death, words of blessing and not cursing, words of healing and not hurtfulness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today. And Lord, we just want to ask you to put a watch, a guard over our mouth and our lips, a gatekeeper. That Lord, we want to make sure that the words that we speak, that they're true, that they're kind, and that they're necessary. If not, then let's just learn how to pray a prayer for others in response. Lord, we understand the Holy Spirit has spoken to us today, and we want to have ears to hear and hearts to receive exactly precisely what he is saying to us as individuals, and then to us corporately as a church. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, just take a moment and say, Lord, I receive this message and how the Holy Spirit is interpreting it in my own life. Not, oh, my spouse needed to hear this. Oh, my kids need to hear this. But Lord, I needed to hear this. What are you saying to me, Lord? And how can I begin to use the words of my mouth? I surrender. Just, Lord, we surrender our mouths, our tongues, our speech, our words. We want to continue to develop a faith vocabulary. and teach us day by day as we read and study and meditate on Scripture what that means exactly. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, friend, Jesus said you must be born again. You must invite Christ into your life. You must repent of your sins. If you want to spend eternity with God in heaven and many of your loved ones that have gone on to be in heaven, then you must be saved. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, as many as call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That same section of Scripture, Romans 10:9, says if you'll confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth one confesses unto salvation, and with the heart one believes unto righteousness. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The rest of the congregation is going to, out of love and support, pray this prayer out loud with you. But it's so important that you say it with your own mouth and you mean it from your own heart. And for those of you that are here today and you're backslidden, you're out of fellowship with the Lord, it's time to come home. The Father is waiting with open arms to receive you back into sweet fellowship with Him. And I say to you, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer as a prayer of repentance with the rest of us. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family, those of you that are online? Let's go, Kansas City Chiefs. All right.